活。
Previously on 24.
Alan Milliken's prescription bottle turned up with Sherry's fingerprints on it.
I can call Fox and he can make this all disappear. All you have to do is give me the okay.
David put you up to this, didn't he?
Sherry, I...
Foxton finds the bottle taped to the small of Sherry's back.
The police think I killed Alan.
Well, I told you to keep your mouth shut. It's nobody's fault but your own.
Julia shoots Sherry, then turns the gun on herself.
You facilitated the escape of a man who is responsible for the death of Ryan Chappelle and almost 1,000 civilians. With luck, the best you can hope for is 20 years.
Tell me how to find your courier, Stephen, or I'm going to put your daughter in that building.
You wouldn't dare. She has nothing to do with this.
Neither do the people in those body bags.
Your daughter is infected. I'm going to make you watch her die.
Yes, stop!
Stephen, you're out of time!
Stop! 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 Stop!
Where's the 11th file?
Los Angeles.
What's the target?
His instructions were to select a public place where maximum casualties would be inflicted.
Target has stopped moving. The target has stopped.
Drop the bag! Get on the ground now! Don't move!
What's going on?
Where is it?
Where's what?
Where is it?
Where's what?
Chase!
What are you guys doing? What's going on?
Jack, I got a signal.
What are you looking for?
It's just a transmitter. He's put it on an innocent. This man is not Ravens. Shut the station down now!
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 1 p.m.
In the subway.
This is Stessler.
Michelle, it's Jack. We just lost Ravens. He dumped the GPS beacon onto an innocent.
Which means he still has a virus?
We have to assume so. He couldn't have gotten very far. We're sweeping the station now. Locked down the entire building. We're going to start moving passengers through monitored checkpoints.
Well, how will you find Ravens? We still don't have a sketch on it.
We need Saunders to make an ID. I want you to move him over from holding to Chloe's station. We're setting up a live feed. You should have it in a few minutes.
Okay, we'll be ready on our end.
Michelle, Gael Ortega's wife, Teresa's here.
All right, Jesse. Send her in.
Ray Placecki interrogates Tony in a holding room.
According to Chloe's statement, you were working in parallel to bring down Saunders even while you were complying with his demands.
Yeah, that's right. I gave Chloe a recording of a conversation between Saunders and myself.
Chloe also said you intentionally scrambled the voice to slow down her progress.
Tony, did you put Michelle's life ahead of public safety or national security?
Yes. I did.
Gael's tearful widow sits opposite Michelle in a quiet side room.
He said he was exposed to a virus. Yeah, that's right.
Teresa crumples her grieving face into her hanky.
He was a hero. He tried to stop the virus from being released, and when it was, he just kept working. Till the end. Thanks. Of course. I'll see what I can do. Okay. Wait here. Kim.
Yes, Michelle.
It's Mrs. Ortega, Gael's wife. I need you to take her to the station, pick up his personal belongings.
Sure.
Thank you.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida, James Badge Dale as Chase Edmonds, and Dennis Haysbert as President Palmer. created by Jill Sernow and Robert Cochran, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. 12:07. Teresa observes Saunders' details on Michelle's screen, as Saunders himself is led in chains to Chloe's workstation to identify Rabens from images on a screen.
Sit him down.
Hello.
Kim, I need you. Saunders is here to ID Rabens.
Well, I'm with Mrs. Ortega.
Michelle said I could reassign anyone I wanted to help me, and I want you, so please don't make me ask again.
Fine, I'll get Barry to watch her.
Teresa lovingly presses Gael's baseball hat to her lips as an awkward Kim looks to her colleague for help.
Barry.
Yeah?
Please watch Mrs. Ortega while she gathers Gael's things.
Sure.
Take as much time as you need.
While Barry is distracted by a woman holding a clipboard, Teresa notices a gun in Gael's drawer.
Excuse me, Barry. Can I get a signature?
Oh, sure.
Thanks.
Anything else for
me? Nope, that's it.
Yeah, sir, if you just step up the line. Right here.
12:09. A digital camera scans an image of each of the subway passengers and feeds them onto a screen on Chloe's desk. Saunders plows through them looking for Rabens.
Moving closer on 2A.
Yeah, Jack, it's me.
Any matches, Michelle?
No, nothing yet.
How far have you got?
4C.
So far, we've gone through the first two sets of photos. Next group is uploading now. Stand by.
It's not him.
Is there anything on this page?
Try 3B, closer up. No.
Back in the subway, a man in the queue matching Rabin's description grows restless.
No.
Station 3, do we have a match?
It's a negative, Jack.
Don't see him anywhere.
Yeah.
The man reaches the front of the queue and stands before the camera. As his image begins to download, Teresa Ortega descends the stairs with a box of Gael's effects and approaches Chloe's desk. In a fit of revenge, Teresa shoots Saunders twice in the chest.
He killed Gael! Don't you
need medical!
Michelle, what's going on over there?
Saunders has been shot.
What are you talking about? Who shot him?
Gael's wife. Hold on, Jack. I need medical here now!
Michelle, what is his condition?
Looks critical.
You do everything you can to keep him alive. He's our only connection to Ravens. Chase!
Yeah.
Teresa is brought to the floor as a medic tries his best to save Saunders.
Jack.
Talk to me.
He didn't make it.
Son of a bitch. We'll get back to you. Saunders has just been shot. He's dead.
Don't move, ma'am. Don't move.
Security guards handcuff a tearful Teresa Ortega as the restless man's image appears clearly on Chloe's screen. It's Rabens. 12:11. End of part one. Part two. 12:15. Palmer's office.
Between the information we've gotten from the captured couriers and our own intelligence, we've been able to confirm that Saunders was the sole architect of today's actions. If we catch this last man, Arthur Rabens, that'll be the end of the threat.
And if not, we're back to square one. And the virus is back on the market. Find him.
Go away.
Joseph, could you give us a minute?
Thank you, Joseph.
Mr. President?
A dumbstruck Wayne avoids Palmer's gaze.
Well, did you get the prescription bottle from Sherry's house?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Wayne breaks away to a side room. Palmer follows.
David. David, something horrible happened, and I don't... Sherry's dead.
How?
Julia, she came in and she killed her, and then she turned the gun on herself.
Palmer clasps Wayne's cheeks and stares deep into his eyes.
They're both dead?
Yeah.
Palmer pulls away and flops incredulously into his presidential chair. Grief furrows his brow as he slides into a state of mourning.
Listen, I'm not going to try to pretend that we can just put this behind us. But the fact is that politically we're free of everything. Free of Milliken's extortion, his death, free of Sherry's involvement.
Thinking of the politics of this? The mother of my children has just been murdered.
And the woman that I love just killed herself in front of me. I understand how you feel. But there's a story here, David. There's a story that can tie this all together. Alan Milliken was having an affair with Sherry. Julia found out, and then she killed them both.
Oh, no, no. I don't want to hear it.
Your emotions are clouded.
No!
Wayne pleads tearfully with Palmer, but Palmer's commanding stare withers away what strength remains, and Wayne leaves a broken man. Palmer reaches for the intercom.
Jeannie?
Yes, Mr. President?
Would you get my son and my daughter on a conference line?
We're going to separate the crowd into units of 10. I want an officer assigned to each unit. That officer is going to be responsible to make sure that no one leaves that unit unless authorized by me or another CTU agent.
I understand.
We're also going to search every passenger, and I mean every briefcase, purse, and pocket. Then we're going to verify their identification.
Be here all day.
Not if we find them.
Yes, sir.
I want you to initiate another search of the station, including the tracks a mile in each direction. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Jack, we're locked down. We got 2 men in every exit.
Good.
Is there anything else we can do right now?
No, not until we get an ID on Ravens.
Jack, listen. About Mexico. I hope you know I understand you're just doing your job.
Look, it took me a long time to understand that if you want to do this job well, you have to stay detached. If you can accept that, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, I have accepted. That's why I'm thinking after today, I'm done. I don't want to be detached, Jack. Not from Kim, not from my daughter. I'm going to request a transfer to the floor.
You sure about this?
Still be serving my country. I can take care of the people I care about. I owe them that, Jack.
What'd Kim say?
I think she's willing to give it a try as long as I'm not in field ops. What do you think, Jack?
I'm the last person you should be asking. This is between you and Kim. Whatever you choose, I would support. You're a good man, Chase.
12:21. An LAPD officer ushers his 10 into a line.
Let's go. Move it in. Form a line here, sir. Proceed. Fast. We'll be checking your belongings and your identification.
Yes, sir,
please. At the end. Thank you, sir.
The officer begins to take down their details and search them. At the back of the line is Ravens. He takes out a flick knife and unsheathes the blade. He looks around for a possible escape route and pockets the blade in his trousers, ready to strike. He looks over to the main body of policemen and considers his options. Jack appears and scrutinizes the people held in the queues. He notices the man at the back of a queue fidgeting and trying to wring the tension from his neck. He stands with a bag and a brown jacket and looks much like an average commuter, so Jack looks away. Something niggles at the back of Jack's mind. He looks back, and the man isn't there anymore. He looks around frantically, but cannot see him anywhere. He counts one man missing and dashes over to the distracted policeman.
You only have nine people in your unit here. Where was the man in the brown jacket?
I don't know.
Chase, we have a passenger unaccounted for.
Two police officers lie in a pool of blood by the exit escalator.
This is Jack Bauer. We have two LAPD officers down at the northwest exit. I need transportation to meet me on the corner.
Jack and Chase hurry up the escalator to the street. A man lies bleeding on the sidewalk.
I'm a federal agent. Did you see what happened here?
Carjacking.
You get a make on the car?
No.
This is Jack Bauer. We've got a civilian casualty on Hope and 7th. Did you see which way the car went?
Yeah, he went straight down there.
I need that transportation now.
Jack takes the dead man's wallet for identification and hurriedly jumps into a four-track hastily delivered by two CTU agents.
Michelle, this is Jack. Ravens is out of the station. I repeat, Ravens is out. He's headed east on 5th Street less than 5 minutes ago. I need to ID a stolen car. I want you to give me a DMV readout on a...
Frank Cassar.
A Frank Cassar. Then I want you to set up roadblocks in a five-mile radius. And coordinate sat surveillance, traffic cameras, everything we've got.
12:28. Tony checks over his statement in the holding room observed by Michelle through the two-way mirror. Hammond answers her call.
Yeah.
Brad, it's me. I need to talk to you now.
All right, I'll be right out. I need to step out.
Michelle opens the door, and as Hammond walks through, she secretly asks Tony how he is with her eyes. He nods back, and she leaves.
Brad, Ravens is gone. He got through the perimeter at the MTA station.
How the hell did that happen?
Doesn't matter how it happened, it happened. We identified the vehicle he carjacked as a light blue Malibu. We've set up a roadblock and uplink traffic cams and satellite sweeps, but I need Tony to coordinate the data flow with Tactical. There's no downside here, Brad. You know he's not a flight risk, and he'd be a major asset to the operation.
I could be brought up on charges if I let Tony
out. We can't lose Ravens. So unless you want to take responsibility and run Tactical yourself, you're wasting time, Brad.
Hammond strides back into Tony's holding room.
We need you on the floor.
Tony throws Michelle a glance through the mirror. Back on the street, Jack is in hot pursuit of Ravens.
Come on, Chloe, where's Ravens?
Just a second, Jack. I think I've got a match. A light green Malibu, intersection of 5th and Van Owen.
Okay, we're only a few blocks away. We're gonna head over there now.
Adam, get me a closer shot of that plate.
Doing it now.
I'm back in play, Jack. Michelle got me up to speed.
Tony, how long till the plate's ID'd?
Adam, do we have a match?
Yes, it's him. The plate's match.
Jack, it's him.
Which direction is he headed?
East on Delmar, just past Frank.
Next block.
Right there, right there.
Ravens drives right ahead of Jack and Chase. Jack turns to follow.
Tony, we got him. He's headed south on Manning towards the Chatham Center. We're gonna need backup.
Copy that.
Ravens weaves frantically in and out between cars, in an attempt to escape from Jack. Jack matches him action for action and doggedly sticks close on his tail. Ravens momentarily glances down at a bag on his front seat containing the virus and its dispersal device. The high-speed car chase motors on.
Marty, where's that backup coming in from?
From the east and from the south on a reciprocal course.
Okay, we just made a right. We're headed west on DeSoto.
A heavy-laden forklift truck allows Ravens pass but blocks Jack.
Move that thing out of here now!
Ravens can't believe his luck and powers along the main street over a bridge. Jack is left far behind as the truck finally moves out of the way.
Tony, we've been cut off. He's made a right onto Lawndale. He's headed north. We're about three blocks behind him.
Yeah, Jack, we have three vehicles in the area ready to cut him off. We're going to corner him.
Two CTU vehicles force Ravens to come to a stop in the street.
Jack, we got a pin down Chamberlain just north of Palm.
Okay, keep him there. We're two blocks away.
12:32. Ravens reverses at top speed, flips the car around and speeds off in the other direction. Another car forces him off the road. He careers up some stone steps towards the entrance of a school, jumps out, and heads inside with a bag.
He's running into the middle school on Chamberlain. Main entrance.
Hey, Tony, we're coming up on the middle school now.
As Jack parks behind Ravens' car, Ravens dashes through a busy vestibule teeming with school kids.
Tony, he's in the school. I've got to get back to you. Tell the arriving teams to secure the exits. We cannot evacuate this school. We run the risk of losing him. Let's move.
Jack and Chase burst through the main entrance into the vestibule, but Ravens is nowhere to be seen.
Hayes, cover the west exit.
Ravens tries to escape through a side door. He sees agents blocking his way and instead heads up the stairs, his bag clutched in his hand.
You get anything?
Nothing.
Cover your exit. No one leaves this building. Chase, take your man. Search the auditorium.
Jack scouts around and tries to sense what Ravens will do next. End of part two. Jack hunts Ravens through deserted school corridors, his gun held at the ready before him. He approaches a classroom and points his gun into the room. A collective gasp emanates from the terrorized schoolchildren, nominally protected by the maternal arms of a schoolteacher. Jack signals his innocent intent and carries on along the hallway. Meanwhile, Chase enters an untidy office that looks more like a half-forgotten storage room. Jack reaches a sleek, modern staff room, equipped with chilled drinks cabinet like an executive canteen. Both are completely empty of people. Chase checks out a science lab strewn with abandoned test tubes, conical glass flasks, and a fish tank. Ravens leaps out from behind a desk and slashes Chase's upper arm with a knife. Although stunned for a moment, Chase grabs Ravens by the hand and manages to disarm him. In the ensuing struggle, all manner of glass chemistry equipment and even the odd computer monitor is smashed into smithereens.
Chase is Jack. Second floor is clear. Do you copy? Chase.
In the midst of the brawl, Chase snatches Raven's bag and hurls it across the room. The dispersal device falls out of the bag and onto the floor. The vial of virus is clearly visible, and Chase tries to reach for it, but is continually prevented by a determined Ravens. He climbs onto Chase's back as he attempts to crawl along the floor through the broken shards and brutally stamps on Chase's bandaged hand, shot at point-blank range by Ramon Salazar so many hours ago. Finally, Chase manages to beat Ravens off, slugs him in the kidney, and kicks him flying across the room. Chase grabs the device and hides it from view. Ravens stands over Chase's exhausted and beaten body and maliciously deals him a decisive kick in the stomach. As Ravens attempts to pick up the device, he realizes with horror that Chase has cuffed it to his own injured hand and Ravens cannot escape with it without dragging the weight of Chase's body. In his anger, Ravens kicks over a chair and reaches for his gun. He activates the dispersal device, points his gun at Chase's bleeding head, and cocks it, ready to fire. Jack shoots Raven's dead, and his body drops to the floor.
Jeez, just lay still. Everything's gonna be all right.
Jack examines the bleeping device cuffed to Chase.
This is the only thing I can do to keep him from escaping with the virus. Don't waste your time, it's not coming off. What are you talking about? Ravens didn't even try to remove it. If he could unlock it, he would have.
Tony, Ravens is dead. The virus is in our possession. But the dispersal device has been activated. I don't see a timer. I've got no idea how long we've got.
All right, Jack, I need you to find a secure container, anything airtight.
I can't do that. The device is attached to Chase's wrist.
What?
I'll explain later. Right now, I need you to put me in touch with one of the teams that's been able to disarm the device already.
All right, I'll get back to you.
Hurry.
Just support the device.
Jack helps Chase and the device over to a table.
Jack, I don't know how this is all going to turn out, but I want you to tell Kim that I'm
sorry. Whatever you got to tell Kim, you tell her yourself. We're going to get through this. You just stay with me. We're going to get through this.
Jack rifles through drawers.
Jack, I'm patching you through.
Okay.
Roger Summers here.
Roger. My partner had to fasten a dispersal device to his wrist to stop the courier from escaping with it. I need to figure out how to disarm the timer or remove the clamp.
Forget about the clamp. It's titanium. And it's also wired into the tamper-proof mechanism.
Fine, then let's disarm the timer. What do I do?
There's a plate at the opposite end of the clamp. You need to open that up.
Okay, I see it.
Chase droops his bruised head.
Chase, stay with me. Stay with me!
Okay, I've got the timer. 3 minutes, 51 seconds, counting down.
You should see 6 wires to the left. Separate them from each other.
Okay, done.
Okay, the furthest to the left should be red. Cut it without making contact with the others.
Jack separates the red wire from the others and reaches for a pair of scissors. Before he cuts, he looks up at Chase.
Cut the red wire, but the timer's still counting down.
That's okay. The timer will stop with the next cut. Locate the green wire. It's in the group to the right.
Jack fumbles through a mass of colored spaghetti.
Roger, I don't have a green wire.
What color wires do you have?
Orange, yellow, black, and purple.
Jack, the devices don't match. Don't panic, and don't cut any more wires until we can figure this out on our end.
Hurry, we're running out of time!
Roger pours over a circuit diagram. The timer reads 2 minutes, 27 seconds.
Jack, you need to go. I'm not going anywhere without you.
Jack racks his brain for a solution. Something catches his attention on the wall and gives him an idea. He looks away. Chase turns to see an emergency fire rack sitting in a glass case ready for use. He turns it over in his mind.
Do it.
They're gonna call back.
You have to.
They're gonna call back!
Jack fixes his stare on the timer. 1 minute, 45 seconds, and counting. Chase looks him calmly in the eye.
It's okay.
Jack avoids his gaze and returns again to the timer, now showing 1 minute, 23 seconds and counting. Chase now begins to look imploringly at Jack. In a moment, Jack makes his decision and acts, drops the scissors and marches over to the axe case and smashes the glass. Meanwhile, Chase hurriedly takes off his belt and wraps it around his cuffed arm as a tourniquet. He threads it through the buckle and holds it tightly between his teeth. Jack gives Chase a moment to brace himself, then carefully aims the axe above Chase's wrist, rested on the wooden table below, and then brings it down with all his strength. Chase passes out in shock and agony as Jack removes Chase's hand and releases the dispersal device from Chase's wrist. Jack quickly places a cloth around the severed end of Chase's arm and rushes out of the lab with a rapidly bleeping device.
Jack Bauer, we have a man down on the third floor of science lab, northeast corner of the building, requiring medical assistance. Emergency now!
Jack dashes along the corridor, the timer flashing the countdown towards 0, 19, 18, 17. He darts into the staff room and quickly places the device inside the chilled drinks cabinet and firmly closes the airtight glass door. 2, 1, 0. A deadly white vapor fills the cabinet, but is contained. Exhausted, Jack sits down in relief. 12:47. End of part 3. Back at CTU, Michelle checks a monitor in a busy tech room. Tony enters and asks the others to leave.
Could you give us a minute, please?
Yeah, sure thing. Come on.
I can get us up on the floor.
What's going on?
Back in custody. Hammond's taking me down to federal.
No, no, they can't do this. Not after everything you've accomplished today.
Michelle, I put your well-being above the country's. Nothing anybody can say will ever change that fact.
But they can't. They can't put you in prison.
Yes, they can. And they will for a long time, believe me.
Tony, don't talk like this.
Michelle.
I can't.
Michelle,
I won't give up on you.
Michelle, don't do this.
I can't.
He stops her mouth with a long, passionate kiss. They embrace, neither wanting to let go.
Leave me here alive. And nobody else got hurt because of what I did. And that's more than I hoped for. I can live with that. Even in prison.
Tony, it's time.
A security guard leads Tony away. Michelle is at a complete loss and breaks down in tears. Jack at the hospital.
Bauer.
Agent Bauer, please hold for the President.
Jack?
Mr. President.
I wanted to thank you personally, not only for what you've done today, but for everything. This country continues to owe you a great debt of gratitude.
Thank you, sir.
I put you in an unimaginable position earlier today when I asked you to take the life of one of your colleagues. Please forgive me for that.
Mr. President, there's nothing to forgive. It's what had to be done. It wasn't the only sacrifice made today.
I understand. How's Agent Edmonds doing?
He's in surgery now. It's going to be a few days before we know whether or not he can use his hand.
And when he's strong enough to talk, I'd like to thank him personally.
You would appreciate that, sir.
You know, Jack, men and women like you, your courage and level of commitment humbles me.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll let everyone know at CTU that you appreciated the job they did.
So, Jack, there's one more thing. And please don't discuss this with anyone until it becomes public. But I wanted you to hear it from me personally. I've decided not to seek re-election. This will be my only term.
Mr. President, I hope you don't mind me saying so, but I think you're making a mistake.
Oh, mistake or not, it's what I've decided. When I'm a private citizen, I hope we can become better friends.
That would be an honor, sir.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Wayne watches his brother in silence as Palmer puts down the presidential phone. Aaron knocks on the office door.
Come.
Mr. Preston, the motorcade's ready.
Thank you, Aaron.
Before he stands up, Palmer pauses for a brief moment of reflection. A humbled Wayne helps his brother with his jacket. A Stars and Stripes badge glitters proudly on the lapel. Wayne walks with sheepish regret, while President Palmer strides with immense strength of dignity along the presidential corridor, and an aura of nobility follows him into the lift. ...12:56. Kim joins her brooding father waiting in the hospital reception room. Father and daughter embrace in a heady mixture of anxiety and relief.
Jay's gonna be okay.
The doctors are very optimistic. They got him into surgery very quickly.
Oh, thank God.
Come here.
Jack softly strokes her hair and face, his own heavy with fondness and fatigue.
I hear you and Chase are gonna make some changes. I'm very happy for you.
I thought you were gonna be upset about it.
I'm so proud of you. I'm sure whatever choices you make will be the right ones.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you. You're gonna be okay.
Jack tears himself away from her embrace and stops at the reception room door and turns to watch his beloved daughter. Kim looks on with concern as a volcanic emotion seethes from her father's unseen depths. Meanwhile, Chase lies unconscious in surgery as doctors work to repair his severed hand. A disillusioned and saddened Palmer is driven passively through lines of adoring, shouting crowds. Tony is escorted handcuffed out of CTU and into custody, watched by an incredulous Michelle. And Jack throws off his work jacket at the end of a very long day and climbs into the familiar comfort of his four-track. In the safety and quiet of his own car, slowly the realization that it's finally over hits him. Jack breaks down, and long-suppressed emotions rip through his exhausted body and pour uncontrollably from his eyes. Jack reaches for his radio.
This is Jack.
I just got a call from district. Start interrogating Saunders Courier. We could use your
Yeah.
Jack, did you copy?
I'm on my way.
One PM. The end.